This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
The following was recorded at a Maximize the Living live event.
I will tell you, and Dr. Leanne will tell you, that we did not put you on your medication. We cannot take you off. But our goal, our hope, our purpose in helping you is to help your body get healthy enough to the point that you no longer need it. I hope you want that same for yourself, and I hope your doctor would want the exact same thing as well. So, medicine, toxic or no? Yes, absolutely. So, moving on to toxins that live in your home. You name it, it's there. The EPA estimates that the air in our homes, the environment in our houses, is 5 to 100 times more toxic than air in downtown Indianapolis. We are literally marinating in a toxic bath when we're in our house. All the more reason for us to get out in nature and get outside and get fresh air away from downtown, go out hiking, go out camping. I'll go to the beach because I don't camp. But 5-star is roughing it for me. just kidding. I sleep on a couch when I go to my parents' house. But things that we encounter on a day-in and day-out basis, whether it's your cleaning products like bleach, ammonia, whatever it might be, hand sanitizer, soaps, personal care products, all of these different things. DEA is found, that's diethanolamine, is found in over 600 home and personal care products such as soaps, lotions, cosmetics, bubble baths, laundry and dishwashing detergents. The DEA was found to produce cancer in animal trials and studies. And these are things that we are constantly washing ourselves with and cleaning surfaces that we come in contact with in our homes. Because you wouldn't brush your teeth with antifreeze, would you? I hope not. I mean, you don't have to worry about overheating at that point. But propylene glycol, which is a big ingredient in antifreeze, is in toothpaste. It's in mouthwash. It's in some shampoos. If you are a soda drinker and you drink Dr. Pepper, it's in Dr. Pepper. Cold Stone ice cream. If you like to go out to the bar and do a shot from time to time, not in the five essentials, but it's in Fireball as well. So it's everywhere. They put it in just about anything that you can consume, either on your skin or orally. So want to avoid those things. Let's see. Talking about personal care products, that is another source of toxins in your body. Dr. Leanne's going to touch on this a little bit more in depth, so I'm just going to gloss it over. Yeah. But average women use 12 personal care products a day, which exposes you to 168 different chemicals. And you're doing that daily. Perfumes have between 250 and 400 chemical components. Lipstick, 33 components. Body lotion, 32. Mascara, 20. The biggest organ as it relates to the human body is not inside of it. It covers it. It's your skin. So the funny thing is, ladies, when you put lipstick on and you're not eating, you're not drinking anything, and then the lipstick is all of a sudden gone and you still have to absorb it, where the heck does it go? Or not absorb it, but you still have to reapply it. Where does it go? Your body absorbs it. Your body absorbs that lipstick in anything. So if it's not something that you would eat, if it's not safe to swallow, do you think you should put it on your skin? No, absolutely not. Pots and pans, cookware, Teflon, the nonstick stuff. Has everyone heard about the reports? I think it's 2021 that Teflon has to be done. Y'all have seen that? So Teflon is that non stick coating that they put in the pan so you don't have to like scrape your eggs out, or it doesn't really take a whole lot of elbow grease to really clean them up after you're done cooking. When this non-stick surface in your pan is heated up over 500 degrees, it starts to emit gas. And your food starts to absorb this toxic material. Teflon in the body has been shown to create ADD and ADHD in children. It acts as a hormone disruptor. So ladies who are suffering from thyroid that you've been cooking with Teflon cookware for however many years can contribute to thyroid disruption. Guys, ladies, mammaries, guys, testes. It affects all of those. So any kind of diagnosis that you have related to that, and this is the cookware that you've been using for the last several years, get rid of it. I mean, think about it. The warning is if you've got like a pet, a bird, a canary, that's near the kitchen and you're cooking with Teflon, move the bird away because the fumes from the Teflon will kill the bird because they're tiny and their body can't handle it. But again, we're talking about toxic accumulation in the human body. If you're continuing to cook with this Teflon cookware, you're inhaling the fumes, you're eating the food that has absorbed that. Is that good or bad for you? Bad.
Stainless steel is what I use at home.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, stainless steel, solution. Cast iron.
Problem.
Yep, solution.
Solution.
Problem
stainless
solution.
Steel.
Stainless steel, glass Pyrex, and cast iron.
For the people who transition to stainless steel and you think that you want to die because everything sticks, here's your secret. You ready for this? Heat up your pan first. So like we heat up the pan first, not a whole lot, but enough. You have to think metal expands and contracts when it comes to heat. And so once it's warmed up a little bit, then I'll put my coconut oil in it and nothing sticks. And so, but if you put like the cold and you heat it up like we used to do with the Teflon, you know, it's not that much of a problem. with the stainless steel, it is. So it's a learning curve, but if you heat up the pan first, I'm promising you it's so much easier.
The reason for that is PFOAs, polyfluoroactanoic acid. That's the word I was looking for. I was trying to remember. What are the letters? What's the word? Can't remember it. But that's ultimately what causes that hormone disruption in the body. There are other non-stick alternatives like ceramic pans that are non-stick. The jury is still out on those, so best to stay away from them, okay? When it comes to truly promoting health, hydration is a huge, 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 huge thing that you need to incorporate into your health program. When patients come in, they're like, they've got a muscle spasm or a new ache or pain or something that's going on. Those of you who are patients, what is the first question that either myself or Dr. Leanne will ask you?
Are you
drinking enough water? And are you doing home exercises? Those are the top two questions that we're going to ask you. And it's not because we're trying to make you feel bad that you shouldn't, but it's like, that's our process of elimination. So we can get down to, okay, what is the root cause of the problem? If you're dehydrated, you're going to have those aches and pains. You're going to be a little bit more inflamed. It's going to cause those symptoms you're experiencing. So ideally, for proper hydration, half of your body weight in ounces of water. Well, holy cow, how do I keep track of that? There's an app for that. There are several. I use WaterMinder. And my daily goal, I'm 222 pounds, so 111 ounces is my goal, or should be. My goal is actually 130 to 140 ounces. And the app on my phone goes off every 90 minutes. Hey, you need to drink water. You need to drink water. You need to drink water, because occasionally we need that little nudge. Hey, go drink water. Dr. Leanne and I also have our mason jars back there in the adjusting bays. We know how many ounces are in those. So for Dr. Leanne, she tries to drink 3. I try to drink at least 4. So whatever trick you need, always drinking from the same thing, making sure, one, it's not a plastic water bottle, but an aluminum or a stainless steel bottle is going to be better. And just keep track that way. Whatever is going to work best for you, but I strongly recommend getting an app. And you can type in hydration tracker, and it's going to give you what you need to hit that goal for yourself. The thing with being using hydration to boost your health, you have to be very careful about where your water is coming from, because unfiltered tap water is toxic. The EPA has done a study that there are over 250 million pounds of active drugs that are dumped into the water system, eventually ending back up at your house. Because people will, when they're done with their prescription or they're feeling better, they're done with their antibiotics, whatever the situation might be, they flush them down the toilet. The number one most common medication or prescription drug that's found in the water is oral contraceptives. The EPA also, and they were drawn to this because they found fish in the Potomac River that both had male and female reproductive parts. And they found contraceptives, hormone disruptors, in the water system. So, let's see, what else? Chlorine. Chlorine is used to disinfect water, correct? How many people can taste chlorine in their water when you're drinking from the tap? Yeah, absolutely. It's used to disinfect, but what happens through the disinfection process is that THC, is that right? Is it THC? I can't remember all these letters. It drives me crazy. THMs and chlorine react to produce chloroform, which is a THM. Chlorine and THMs have both been found to cause cancer and heart disease through the oxidation process of cholesterol. Different topic, but it's not cholesterol that causes heart disease, it's the oxidation of cholesterol that causes heart disease. If you were at my heart health workshop, I hope you remember that. Let's see. So as a result, fluoride is banned in Belgium, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Luxembourg, Norway, and Sweden. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency estimates that 93% of people who drink chlorinated water are at a higher, or excuse me, people who drink chlorinated water are at a 93% higher risk of developing cancer. So don't be part of that. So, high levels of lead have been found in 2,000 different water systems across the United States. Let's see, that's ultimately affecting 6 million different people. About 350 of those systems provide drinking water to schools or daycare. From USA Today, an investigation also found at least 180 of the water systems failed to properly notify consumers about the high lead levels as the federal rules require. There is no safe level that that humans should consume when it comes to lead. Absolutely nothing. Neurotoxic, developmentally challenge, causes developmental issues in unborn babies. I mean, ADD, ADHD, you name it. Is there any question in here that lead is bad for you? No, okay. Let's talk about your shower. 15-minute shower will expose you to 25 gallons of water. Who here enjoys taking cold showers? No, everyone? Okay, we've got one. Awesome. When you take a hot shower, what happens to the water? Steam. So not only are you bathing in chlorinated water, you're now inhaling the chlorine fumes as a result of the steam, leading to more issues. Your body's going to absorb. Your skin will deflect roughly 25% of things that it encounters. That other 75%, what's going on? Your body's absorbing it, and it's getting taken into your system. So what are some things that you can do? Solutions when it comes to fluoride in your water, when it comes to chlorine in your water, when it comes to any other copper, other toxics, particles that are going to get through the water filtration process at a city level that you need to take on that extra step. Write this down. You can get an inline shower filter. It's roughly $45. I think it's like $45 on Amazon. Their filters include vitamin C in there, which will help to neutralize chlorine. Okay? So if you're someone who likes to go and exercise and you swim laps, you can get vitamin C in a powder form, put it in a bottle of water, spray it on your skin before you go swimming. It'll help neutralize that chlorine so your body does not absorb as much. Getting an inline filter with a vitamin C filter, again, will neutralize that chlorine in the water. So your body's not absorbing that, and you're not inhaling it in the shower as well. As far as fluoride is concerned, I have seen on the market that there are some of those filtration pitchers that claim to eliminate fluoride. I don't know how reliable that is. The best way to remove fluoride from your drinking water or any kind of hot water that you use in your home is to get a reverse osmosis system. You can get it for one sink, you can get it for a shower, or you can do it for the entire house. So those are the best things to eliminate those chemicals that you're exposing yourself to, drinking water, bathing water, and so on. And that's it.
Clay, are you up there? Yes. Will you play me some, like, Pump It Up? Whatever you want. Okay, I still have some more good information, but I'm having everyone stand up because we're going to get some oxygen flowing, right? And if I have you stretch in silence, it's weird.
Did I bore you? She's trying to tell me that
no,
I bored you.
No. I just want to, we want to increase the energy. Sometimes we're like, woe is me, here's all these deadly things. So now we're going to stretch. We're going to get some oxygen. I'm going to give you some free stuff, right? One hand over the other. The other hand over the other. You can try to touch your toes if you
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Gotta get up, I gotta get up. Ooh, gotta get up, I gotta get up.
Okay, so let's talk about this real quick. So when we talk about toxicity load and why toxicity load is so important to address, one, we talked about weight loss. Because what happens is your body stores toxins in its fat. So many times people are like, I'm eating right, I'm exercising, I'm doing all of these things, but I'm not getting the weight loss results that we want. Because if your body is toxic, your body is going to store the toxins in your fat, right? That's why a pig can get bit by a rattlesnake and not die. Because it stores the toxins in its fat. So we have to address that. The secondary component is this toxicity load causes inflammation to the cells. The inflammation is a base of a lot of pain. So when people have aches and pains, disease processes, a lot of that starts from the inflammation component. And so when we're looking at toxicity load and it's like, well, why would I change? Because again, the ultimate goal, whether it be whatever your big why is, I want to lose weight so I can be healthier. You know, again, for my husband, I want his brain to be functioning and sharp when we're in 20, 30, 40 years. I want to make sure that my kids are healthy. You know, when you look at that big component, you have to address the toxicity load because we kind of consider it drops in the bucket. It's typically not the one where you're like, oh, yeah, you've been drinking tap water. So that's the one and only thing. But you have the tap water and you have the, right? It's all of the things. It's biotoxic accumulation. It just where we keep increasing to the point where our bucket is full and it dumps over. It explodes, right? So we have to figure out how do we, one, empty out the bucket. Two, we've got to figure out how do we stop putting more things into the bucket. Does that make sense, everyone? Yes or no? Okay, because it's not, again, toxicity can kind of be like a, so we had to like throw some stretches in the middle. Because a lot of the times, the one thing that I don't want is for you to leave here and you're like, well, now I can do nothing, right? You leave and like everything, what did you learn at the seminar? Everything I do is wrong. And you're like, close, but here's the ultimate goal. Because a lot of it's eye-opening, right? Have you learned anything thus far of things that you can change when you go home, right? And we're not even halfway through. So when you look, okay, we've got the two components. We don't want to just take everything away. You're like, I can't drink water, I shouldn't take any of this medication. But really what we do is what we consider a lateral shift. That lateral shift is, okay, instead of doing... I didn't get to any of my stuff yet. Instead of doing unfiltered water, right, you're still going to do filtered water. What do I cook my stuff in? Instead of doing the Teflon pans, what you're going to do instead is you're going to do the stainless steel, right? So it's just a lateral shift because it's not crazy. When I reach to get a pan out, I reach for my pan, but my pan's stainless steel, right? So I'm still cooking and you're still doing those things, but it's just easy. So I want you to feel empowered when you leave here to make some of those changes as opposed to feeling like you're crushed and defeated and everything that you do is wrong. Right, okay, so let's talk a little bit about, just quick, mold can be for a while. Again, Indoor mold, when you see this, I would say the most common that I see is typically in bathrooms and basements, right? I love my husband a lot, but like I realize one of my pet peeves is like when you're done with the shower, open up the shower curtain, right? Because you know when you keep it in there and then you see that mildew that comes in, you guys realize that's mold, right? And then you get into the shower, this hot shower, and then you're steaming up this mold. Well, mold spores, guess what they love? Moist, dark places. Guess what your lungs and your nasal passages are? Moist, dark places. So this is where a lot of the times people see allergies that come in. Like kids, oh, my kids just have always had these allergies. Oftentimes there can be mold problems. I'll tell you one, and our typical go-to is take some bleach and scrub it, but it's actually a bit deeper. I wish I had time to go into it, but the one thing that I would encourage you to do is there's typically some third-party remediations. I actually, when we moved into our home in November of last year, I noticed my son has struggled with eczema, like incredibly bad eczema. And for someone who feels like they do everything right, you know, it's frustrating sometimes. Anyone ever feel like you feel like you're doing everything right, but yet you're not getting the results? That's my son's eczema. We actually called in a third-party remediation company, and they went in, and we didn't have any visible, but there's tons of mold that you can see that's not visible. And so we actually did air testing. They can come out and clean those spores, because even though you scrub it away and you can't see the spores, doesn't mean the spores are no longer present. And so those are ones, too. One easy change is go home, throw out your shower curtain, and go get a new shower curtain. Now, are you ready for this? There are shower curtains, because it's plastic lining, right, that have the PFOAs. So exactly what Dr. Grant talks about is those PFOAs, which alter the hormones. Do you know that's actually in most of the shower curtains? So you can actually get, I know that like Bed Bath & Beyond, they'll actually say on there, PFOA-free. So it's one where, again, you're in this hot bathroom, you're heating it up, you're breathing in all of those toxins, right? These are the little things that you can look at changing over time. But if you have mold, go home, just get rid of it. Also, tell your husband to open up the shower curtain when he's done showering. Now, heavy metals. This is a lot of out of sight, out of mind. When we look at heavy metals, we're going to talk, there's tons of heavy metals. The most common that I see typically are aluminum and mercury, right? Sources, right? So let's talk sources of aluminum and mercury. Although aluminum's not a heavy metal, it's still a metal source. And again, your body, if it can't rid itself of those toxins, this is where you start to see biotoxic accumulation. So aluminum, the easiest thing that I see typically happens with aluminum is your deodorant. More specifically in women than men, if you look, aluminum's designed to clog up those pores. So you have antiperspirant and deodorant, right? Antiperspirant is to stop sweating. Deodorant is to stop the odor. Deodorant, antiperspirant, right? Typically, men are more the antiperspirant, not the deodorant. But you'll see in men, it's not as common. It can still be in there. But when you look, the number one ingredient typically is aluminum. Well, we're putting aluminum on our skin, which is our biggest organ, yes or no, into open pores, which are designed to get things out, right? And so what we're doing is we're clogging them up with aluminum. Do you know when they looked, they actually found that 70% of breast cancers actually start in the upper outer quadrant? Well, think, guess what sits all through here is your lymph nodes. Your lymph nodes is your drainage system. It's your detoxification pathway system, right? And so if you're trying to get it out, guess where they settle? Right here. And so aluminum's a huge one. We put it on our skin. And how often do you put on deodorant? All day, every day? So a great easy lateral shift is you just look at deodorant that doesn't necessarily have the aluminums, the fragrances. We'll talk about the fragrance too. So the deodorant that I use, you can make your own, which surprisingly is really effective. Has anyone made their own deodorant in here before? Were you happy with it?
No.
Yeah, for the most part, it's really surprising. One, I actually sweat less with homemade deodorant because my body's not trying to push out all those toxins. It can get them out. Now, that being said, people in the front row, you might get it. By the end of this, people in the back row, you might get it. The smell for myself and Dr. Grant's armpits. Here's the thing, though, right?
My deodorant has failed already.
This pregnancy detox is like a real thing because it's just been like, what, I don't know how many months of just like, ugh, stink. But here's the thing though, right? When you talk about when push comes to shove, wood. It actually hurts my nose a little bit, but when I, you know, the like secret, super strong, extra, and you've got all these like beautiful, you know, spring breeze, armpit smells, like mine doesn't smell like that ever, ever. I'll be real candid with you, like Monday, Wednesday people at 6 o'clock, like I'll give hugs like this because I feel bad for you. I don't want to give hugs like this. Even if I go at lunch and wash my armpits, like I am still a stinky human. That's just what it is. And you know what? That's okay. Because when push comes to shove and it comes down to it, if it says, hey, here's some extra heavy metals in your body every single day, but you don't really smell that bad, but here you don't smell that bad and you don't. When you're talking about the different neurological, neurodegenerative processes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, they link so many of those to heavy metals, right? So that's just one easy source, right? Another one too, and this is one that I'm, there's less of a conversation to be had because it literally comes from the CDC website, are vaccines. Vaccines have something called thimerosal in them. It is mercury. It is a heavy metal. There are some vaccines that you can get that are thimerosal-free. So the flu shot, right? The flu shot typically has thimerosal because it's multi-vialed. So what they do is they have one larger vial and they take it out. Thimerosal is designed to help stabilize, right? This is one, well, I don't believe. You don't have to believe. Go to the CDC website. The people who literally employ the vaccine makers, the drug companies to produce the vaccines, and look, is there thimerosal in them? And the answer is yes. So it's one where people are like, I don't want, it's just not, it's like, your shirt is orange. Like, no, it's not. It's blue, right? It's like, here are the facts, here are the stats. The problem is that we have a blood-brain barrier, and it's designed to stop those heavy metals from getting through. And the problem is when you inject them, you bypass all of those systems. Right? You think about pregnant women. They say, don't have tuna because it's high in heavy metal, right? Mercury. But yet they say you should get the flu shot every single year. And what they're finding more and more is that the flu shot can't be tested, right, every single year. Because they actually came up with the strands. They look for the strands, and they start this production process, the fall? So, like, late winter, early spring is when they start that. They say, we hope that these strands look like the flu shot that's here. And so that's not just in the flu shot. It's in childhood vaccines, too, booster shots. So when you're looking at that, one, you can do more research. But then, two, if you choose, you can actually ask for the thimerosal-free. No, there's still thimerosal in them. It's just at a lesser dose, right? So when you're looking at there, another one, too, in terms of heavy metals is amalgam fillings. Does anyone have silver fillings in their mouth or know anyone with silver fillings? Those are amalgam fillings. They actually, look, they did research. It's so funny. Not really, but. So my husband had amalgam fillings from the military. And when he went from active to reserves a couple years ago, they do all the testing, right, to make sure that your body is, you know, all intact before they release you. And when they did, they said, oh, you have some cavities, so we're going to fill those cavities. Well, I had let him know 6.5 years ago when we got married that when he was out, that we were going to get his amalgams taken out, right? This is the important stuff you talk about before you get married. Are you willing to get your amalgams out? He said, yes. I said, this will probably work out then. So, but we literally had the date on the calendar years before. When you do it, you have to make sure you have a biologically safe dentist. If you want to know more information, you can ask the team. You can ask myself about names of those. But they do a dental dam. They have oxygen. They have literally the people taking them out are in hazmat suits. But what's interesting is before he left, they said, we're going to get those filled. And he knows that I love him and that he wants to stay married and that, you know, really it's not like, oh, we'll do all of the fillings for the same charge. It's typically however many fillings you have is how many dollars. One versus 10 is going to be a different price. He's like, do I really want to put in more mercury knowing that in 2 months I'm going to take out the mercury? And he goes, you know, I think I'm going to pass. And you know what she asked him? She said, is it an aesthetic thing or is it a mercury thing? And I was like, the fact that they acknowledge it's a mercury thing is one thing. And he said, well, it's a mercury thing. And so she goes into this whole, it's not that much mercury. And I was like, I wonder if you said if it was an aesthetic thing, if she would have fought you as much as it is a mercury thing. They know. When they look at off-gassing, when you drink hot coffee, there's videos. They looked at even sheep. They put amalgam fillings in sheep, and they had them chew, and they did a scan, and they found that there was mercury not only in the stomach, the liver, and the intestines, as well as the brain. And so all of these people said, yeah, but sheep chew harder, right? So guess what they did as another study? So they looked and they said, okay, then we're not going to do sheep. What we'll do is we'll do monkeys, right? Monkeys and humans are oftentimes the same when they look at in terms of studies. And guess what they found in monkeys?
They chew harder too.
The same thing. The brain, the liver, the intestines, they found these heavy metals. You know, so when you're looking at amalgam fillings, one, right, it's the same thing. Eventually, you have to look at safely getting those removed. But if you've been exposed to those heavy metal toxins, you have to start getting rid of them, right? Because again, those, you don't have the normal systems to filter through all of that. So the next one we'll talk about is xenoestrogens. The two that I'm just going to touch on for here is going to be, number one is soy. This is huge. What people don't realize is that soy mimics estrogen. It's a xenoestrogen. So this is why oftentimes women after menopause, they'll tell you, don't do soy. It mimics estrogen. And oftentimes, there are tons of cancers now, breast cancer, ovarian cancer. They're even finding lung cancer are hormone-based cancers. Well, think about all of the other things in life that we're doing to disrupt our hormones. Soy is just one. And I'll tell you sometimes I like to think that the rules don't apply to me. Right? Because
sometimes
I'm human. So there's times I'm just like, oh, I just really want to do a little bit of soy. I'll be fine. And every time I do it, I have huge cystic acne breakouts right here because it's hormones. It alters my hormones. And I was like, oh, it probably wasn't from that. And then I tried it a couple more times. And every single time I had huge, deep cystic acne breakouts here. So finally, I'm like, all right. But that's just like one of the things that you look at in terms of hormone imbalance. When women are like, how can I rebalance my hormones? One is soy and soy-based products. You really have to be diligent of that. The other one, too, and this applies to a lot of things that we typically have, are fragrance. Right? Anything on your products that's a fragrance, this is where I tell people smells, your smells, all your smells. Oh, man, you talked about all the bath products, all your smells we get in the shower. We have the shampoo, the conditioner, the body wash, the shave gel. Right, and then we get out of the shower, and we have the lotions and the perfumes and the hair stuff and the right, all of those smells, those fragrance. It's like how can you put fragrance on there, and one fragrance is strawberry, and the other one is musk, and the other one, you know what I mean? Like all of these different smells, it's a proprietary blend of chemicals. All it is chemicals, right? Like if you look at some of the stores like Bath and Body, right, with all of those sprays, what's the ingredients? Fragrance. Your perfumes, right? You have 10 different perfumes. They all smell different. What are the ingredients? Fragrance, right? It's this proprietary blend of chemicals. What do we do with those fragrances? We put them on our bodies. So again, there's other things. There's essential oils. There's just not smelling at all. But like for me, there's ambre, A-M-B-R-E, amber. Anyways, it's a 100% organic essential oil. And I just roll that on there. And so, and they have like more musky ones for men, but it's just one that if you are gonna do it, don't spray it directly under your skin. Spray it on your clothes. It's a good, better, best. But in the meantime, you know, really at this point, I just realize, and maybe it's because I'm married, maybe it's because I'm super pregnant, like I don't really care if people think I smell good or not, right? I thought I made that clear with the armpit statement. Like it's just one of those ones that it's like it's a lot of vanity that comes with it. I do shower every day, so it's not like a compounding effect of stink. And I wash my clothes.
I will say that Dr. Lee and I don't care if you smell either.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
I don't care if you're smelly.
It's a good thing I'm not married, because when I go home smelling like 10 different perfumes, I would get in trouble.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Now, this is another huge one. The example that I always give, several years back, my stepmom got diagnosed with ovarian cancer, 4 or 5 years at this point. And I remember talking to him, and she said, you know, I really want to start eating organic. And so when she started eating organic, there's something called glyphosate. Glyphosate is a pesticide. It's Roundup. right? And if you've seen, has anyone heard of, in the news more recently, the Monsanto glyphosate? It's one of the biggest lawsuit settlements that they've had ever. And it's in terms of a gardener who was spraying said that Monsanto didn't inform him of, and if, I don't know, and I couldn't put it up here because it is a bit graphic, looking at some of his skin lesions that were on there, the man who received this settlement, because I was like, was it really that bad? And when I looked at pictures, oh my goodness, I was blown away. But this is what, so it was, my stepmom said, you know, your dad just doesn't think organic is that. He's like, it's a joke, it's a ripoff, it's such a scam, right? Like, organic's just a fad. And so we had Thanksgiving dinner, and I made a separate plate, and I put an apple, and I put just a little bit of food on there. I said, Dad, do you have any pesticide? Or like, I'm like, bug spray. And he said, yeah, it's underneath the sink, right? So I took it, and I sprayed a little bit, and I said, I made you a plate. And he said, what's your point? And I said, I made you a plate. Will you eat it? And he's like, no, of course not. You just sprayed it with a bunch of chemicals. And I said, I took the apple and I rinsed it. And I said, here you go. Like, we wash our fruit beforehand, right? I said, so here it is. And he's like, no. I'm like, okay, do you get it? And he's like, yep. And still to this day, he said that was one of the most transforming points in his life to realize that, hey, what they put on your food and what you put in your body, although you can't see it, doesn't mean you don't consume it. And so this is very much one where, is it organic more expensive? Yes. Are there times that it can be just a small amount? Like, I look at bananas, and I think the price difference on bananas is typically 5 to 10 cents a pound. You know, there's other things that cost a little bit more, so there's a good, better, best that comes with it. The better that you can do, the best. But when you look, I want to play this quick video on glyphosate.
A new report found popular breakfast foods and cereals marketed to children contain a weed-killing chemical that some health authorities link to cancer. The research out this morning discovered trace amounts of glyphosate in oats, granolas, and snack bars. 31 out of 45 tested products had levels higher than what some scientists consider safe for children. Anna Werner is here with what these findings mean. Anna, good morning.
Good morning. Glyphosate is the most widely used herbicide in the country, but some scientists, doctors, and activists want it kept out of your food due to concerns that it might cause cancer. Now, one environmental group finds it may have made its way to your breakfast table.
We're very concerned that consumers are eating more glyphosate than they know.
Scott Faber has been working to improve food safety standards for more than a decade. He says the team at the Nonprofit Environmental Working Group, or EWG, had a lab test 45 samples of products made with conventionally grown oats and found glyphosate, the active ingredient in the Monsanto Weed Killer Roundup, in all but two.
I was shocked.
Dr. Jennifer Lowry heads the Council on Environmental Health for the American Academy of Pediatrics.
We don't know a lot about the effects of glyphosate on children, and essentially we're just throwing it at them.
EWG used its own more stringent standards to conclude that products with excessive levels of the herbicide included Quaker Old Fashioned Oats, Cheerios, Quaker Dinosaur Egg Instant Oats, Great Value Instant Oats, and Back to Nature Classic Granola. Glyphosate was even found in a few organic products, though most had non-detectable levels. The World Health Organization says glyphosate is a probable carcinogen. The state of California lists it as a chemical known to the state to cause cancer. Monsanto disputes that, saying in a statement, glyphosate does not cause cancer and has a more than 40-year history of safe use. And Monsanto criticized EWG's research, saying even at the highest level reported, an adult would have to eat 118 pounds of the food item every day for the rest of their life in order to reach the EPA's limit for glyphosate residues.
Did Monsanto fail to adequately warn of the potential risks? Answer, yes.
But last week, a jury in California ordered Monsanto to pay one man $289 million in damages after he claimed the company's glyphosate weed killers caused his cancer. And EWG's Faber is skeptical of EPA's glyphosate limits.
We don't think it does enough in particular to protect children.
It is time now for them to step up and do their jobs to ban glyphosate.
Zen Honeycutt heads Moms Across America, a group formed to raise awareness about toxic exposures. Her family switched to an organic-only diet after her three sons developed allergies and other health problems.
We want to trust that what is in the grocery store is safe. And the shocking reality is that in many cases, it's not.
Right, so good, better, best. The better as we start making that transition. And again, it's a pay now or pay later system with this, right? They know it causes cancer. They didn't say, hey, it doesn't. Monsanto never said, this doesn't cause cancer. It said, you're just going to have to eat a lot of it to cause cancer, right? And the EWG found differently. So nowhere in there do they say, hey, this isn't toxic. They just said, hey, you have to eat a lot of it for your cells to become toxic enough for you to die, right? Like, isn't that crazy? And so we're talking about, what about like the tiny humans that we're feeding this stuff to? And so again, what we have to look at are two things. One, we want to be cognizant of what the toxins we are putting in our body. But two, if you've come into any of those, that contact of chemicals, then we have to start looking at ridding ourselves of that. Because again, your body stores toxins in the fat. But the other thing that it does too, more importantly, is it damages you on a cellular level, right? So here's the sweet picture that I have. The top is an apple, right? So imagine you take an apple, you cut it open, and you brown it, right? Over time, it has oxidative stress, right? That oxidative stress is where you have this beautifully colored apple, and it almost dies on the inside on a cellular level, right? That's oxidative stress. So then on the flip side of things, we have to look at, we want to do an antioxidant, right? Anti is the opposite of oxidation. Does that make sense to everyone? We want to take that browned apple and turn it back to normal, but we want to do that with our cells. So the same things, you have these normal cells, they're attacked by free radicals. Free radicals come and they damage the cells. So we need antioxidants to start reversing that process. Again, this process of oxidative stress, free radical damage, this is when we're leading to these disease processes overall, why it's so important, right? And so ultimately, here are the detoxification pathways, right? You don't need to take a picture of this because it's kind of confusing, but here's what I need you to look at. There are two different types of toxins. There are fat-soluble toxins and there are water-soluble toxins. Basically, what happens is you come into contact with a toxin. So whether it be through your skin, you breathe it, you ingest it, you come into contact. What the body's designed to do is if you eat it, the intestines filter it out, send it out through the excretion of the bowels, right? That's our body's mechanism of getting rid of toxins. But oftentimes through glyphosate, medication, we damage those intestine walls. So what happens is it enters the bloodstream, or if it comes into contact with your breathing or your skin, it goes into your bloodstream. So we have this secondary mechanism, right? Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, just amazing. So it comes to the liver, and the liver says, hey, I'm going to do my job, and I have two phases of detoxification. Gets kind of complicated, but we're going to leave it at that. Phase one and phase two of detoxification. Phase one, what I need you to really look at and pay attention, through step one, look at the things that your liver needs, not wants, not kind of hopes for, what it needs in order to go through that phase one detoxification process. It needs B vitamins. It needs folic acid, which is a B vitamin. It needs glutathione. Glutathione is your body's natural antioxidant. It is a bank. So anytime we have free radical damage, we damage a cell, your body says, I know exactly what to do. I'm going to throw some glutathione at it. They call it the fountain of youth in terms of antioxidants that your body naturally creates. Milk thistle, carotenoids, right, which you get from like orange vegetables, squash, carrots, vitamin E, vitamin C. Now, say you don't have enough of those. Then your liver says, hey, don't you worry. I made excellently. I'm going to go through phase two of that detoxification process, right? In order for phase two of that detoxification process to work, guess what it needs? It needs amino acids. Proteins break down into amino acids. Two of them that I really will talk about is glutamine and L-cysteine. Sulfurated phytochemicals, right? I.e. found in garlic, cruciferous vegetables, leafy vegetables, right? Broccoli, spinach, kale, all that good stuff. So, and then what happens is your body says, all right, so what I'll do now is if it doesn't, the liver doesn't, then I'm like, hey, I still have all of these toxins that you haven't filtered out. I've got to store them somewhere. So again, that's why they look at the fat and the brain, right? The brain, so important when it comes to this. So if it can properly filter out, then again, we go through the kidneys, out to the bowels. If it's proper. If it's not, this is where you have that biotoxic accumulation. Does that make sense to everyone? Yes or no? Okay, good. So two things that I really want to talk about. One is NAC. NAC comes from L-cysteine, which is an amino acid, a breakdown proper of proteins. Now when you look, NAC and glycine, this is like my magic bullet for like a ton of stuff. It naturally boosts your production of glutathione, right? So anytime we can say, hey, because really in life, are we ever going to be perfect and never come into contact with chemicals? Yes or no? No, right? So let's be realistic. We have to be able to go through that a little bit more. So NAC is used as an antidote for acetaminophen. That's Tylenol. Tylenol literally, and this is one where it's interesting even with kids, Tylenol literally goes into the cell and kills intracellular glutathione, right? So if you're ever one that's like, yep, I've taken Tylenol, I'm a Tylenol fiend, I used to, your body is deplete of glutathione. Awesome. It treats certain forms of cancer, protects against toxicity, including DNA damage, right? Because again, we know we take that apple and we brown it, you're damaging the actual cellular DNA. So again, when you're looking at that cellular DNA, when we talk about, hey, it's in my genes, right? This is just the way I was made. This is my DNA, right? Do you have an opportunity? Do you have the ability to turn on and off that gene expression that expresses disease processes? Yes or no? Are you in control of your health? Yes or no?